Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Cafe Esoterica Radio. This is your hostess, Sean Margaret Cohen, and I'm back with my new podcast all about healing the heart called The Shape of My Heart. I want to explore the subject of unresolved emotions like fear, heartbreak, abandonment, childhood wounds, grief, and loss, and any other subject that blocks healthy love. And I want to share my techniques, which I've used over many decades with myself, as well as my clients and students, to heal these issues once and for all. So pull up a cozy chair as the autumn leaves fall and the winter winds whip, and settle in. Why not pour yourself a nice cappuccino or herbal tea or perhaps some old wine and listen to stories taken from my own life's experiences as well as my many, many, many clients and students and your calls. We'd love to have your calls about heartbreak and how to heal it. I'm taking you deep within the heart of the matter every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, and worldwide. Just find your time zone and dive in. You can share your stories of love, heartbreak, and loss too, and victory over adversity in our chat room as we go live on blogtalkradio.com, and also follow us on Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and Spotify. And email the show, please do. We'd love to have your emails on The Shape of My Heart by Sean M. Cohen at gmail.com. Call in the show, please. We'd love to have your calls on area code 516-387-1492. And we have our own private Facebook group. So if you want to do all the techniques and follow along with us, please go to Facebook and just put in the search, The Shape of My Heart, and we'd love to have you there. Let's get healed. Welcome to my new heartfelt podcast. I'm so pleased to be back and have you with me, called The Shape of My Heart. How's the shape of your heart? Let's find out together, shall we?
Okay, we're back. I'm back. This is your hostess with the mostest, Sean Margaret Cohen, and I am broadcasting to you live from London, the city, lockdown city. Unfortunately, we're in lockdown again, but here we are on The Shape of My Heart. Now, I'm on Instagram at Sean, spelled S-H-W-N, M as in Margaret Cohen. I'm broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio, which is my home for this podcast. So if you wanna chat in the chat room there, by all means do. If you wanna call in, the call-in number is from the United States, area code 516-387-1492. If you're dialing outside the United States, you need the code to America, which is 0101, I believe. I think it's 011. 011. Sorry, 011. God, I've called it a million times. You think I'd remember that? Now, Instagram folks, I'm putting you here. I don't think the light is very good, unfortunately, for this podcast. You're just here. I have to kind of look straight at you if I can help it. While manning the board here, I don't know. Let's see if I can get some light on the subject a little bit better. So today, in episode 3 out of 12, there'll be 12 of these podcasts, okay? Now, this is a new series I've been trying to sort of get going, and it's not been easy for various reasons. I have a problem with my left hand, which is driving me a bit nuts, to be honest. It's, you know, not easy to type or do stuff. You know, we need persevere. So if you see me with this, you know, it's that's why. If you see me with this white thing on, this cotton sock, I need it because my skin is very raw there. Anyway, just explaining that. Now, let's talk about the show. So last week, the first week, 2 weeks ago, we dealt with childhood wounds. And childhood wounds are very, very difficult. You know, that's where it all really begins. Childhood wounding is how our brain and our emotional self discover, you know, when we're little, our parents are gods to us, and everything we do is like an Olympian god. So if they say that, you know, they say not nice things to us, we believe them. We believe that that's true about ourselves. If they hurt us or abuse us or take advantage of us or manipulate us or humiliate us or all manner of ill, we take that on as fact, sadly. And the brain from 0 to 7 is actually developing connections, bonding, how relationships work. So if you've had any of these childhood wounds, your bonding ability and your relationships, you know, aren't going to be healthy. They're just not. You cannot make blood, you know, from a stone, so to speak. So what we really need is to look at these things and heal them. And healing them doesn't mean you just analyze them in your head. If only that was true. Every shrink and his mother would have healed the human race. But unfortunately, you have to process the feelings. You have to, A, see them for what they really are. Be truthful about them. You know, don't disguise them. Don't hide them. Don't repress them. And then you need to process them. They have to come up through the inner child. You have to work with your inner child to help that process, to learn, so that inner child learns to trust you and learns to, you know, be a friend to you, not an enemy. Many, many people walk around with very wounded inner children, and they wound other people because of it. Narcissism is one of those things, psychopathy, emotional imbalances. Many physical diseases are based on truly emotional diseases, emotional issues that haven't been healed. And the body is very wise, and the body tries to tell you what's happening through various illnesses. One of the greatest books you could ever read is You Could Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, which I mentioned last week as a great resource to looking at the mind body spirit connection. And today, you know, the first week was childhood wounds. The second week, you know, we looked at grief and loss. What does it mean to lose people? If you lose people, or you could lose a job, it's not just people, you could lose a pet, you could lose your parents, you could lose your mind, you know, you could lose a part of your body. You know, all these things are things to be, that one could grieve over and should grieve over. But what does it mean to lose something? You know, if you're, last week on Blog Radio, I don't know why this happened, but when I listened back to the show, and I always listen back to the show, there was a kind of cutting in and out of the sound. And I think it's because I'm simulcasting on YouTube at the same time. I don't dare do it on Facebook. I'm doing Instagram on my phone. So that's why it's so dark. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I can't seem to get it brighter. But if you want to see me live, come to YouTube. If you want to hear the show, it's really recorded well on YouTube. The same show. So go to Cafe Esoterica. Put in the search YouTube Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see me. Okay, I'm live right now. Okay, I want to thank my daughter, Autumn, and her boyfriend, Joe, for fixing, last bit before we dive in, for fixing my intro, because also my intro wasn't working right. And now it sounded beautiful. So thank you, honey. Thank you, Autumn and Joe, for doing a great job in production there. Now, On with the show. So, all the chat rooms are open. Let me mention our Facebook group. If you'd like to work on these issues about healing your emotional self, please join our Facebook group. I'd love you to go to Facebook and just put in the shape of my heart. And I monitor there. I'm the admin there, and I will let you in. Okay. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to have anyone who's interested in healing their emotional self. I'm putting up different books I recommend, techniques, even therapists I would recommend. And right now, all the techniques I'm giving you are techniques that have been tried and true, absolutely work, 100%. So it's just a matter of doing the work, right? Nobody wants to walk around literally the walking wounded. Nobody. And life isn't supposed to be lived this way. Hi, Neptune girl. Welcome back. Thanks for coming. That's on my YouTube, just saying hi to someone who's watching. So in today's show, we're going to deal with addicted to drama. Are you a drama queen? Is everything a mea culpa? Is everything a big deal? Are you a drama king? You come in the house, stamp your feet, the kids run to their room and hide. You know, that was my father. He was like that. These behaviors come from deep wounding. So let me say that again. If you're a drama queen or king and you're addicted to suffering, you're addicted to pain, you're addicted to being a victim, the payoff of being a victim is bigger for you than actually living a healthy life. Right, you're in the right place. We're going to talk about this, okay? Now, the other thing is just emotional pain. To live a life in emotional pain, I personally think, is a terrible way to live. Some people believe that it's a spiritual, sacrificial thing to do. That's rubbish. That is nonsense. Suffering is not the way to enlightenment, even if the Bible tells you so. Suffering is just suffering. That's it. And in today's modern day and age, there's really no need to do all the time, every day, every way. Millions of people are emotionally suffering. Why? Let's look at that. Let's go back to why. Always journal your feelings, your emotional feelings. This is a little side thing to tell you. Please get a notebook and start journaling to your inner child every day and checking in with her or him. And then also journal any feelings that come up. The reason that people become addicted to drama, and then sometimes they become addicted to other things. They become addicted to alcohol. They become addicted to drugs. They become addicted to numbing their feelings. They become addicted to shopping. They become addicted to porn. They become addicted to gambling. Sometimes they become addicted to relationships as a codependent, and that's not a healthy relationship. Sometimes their inability to deal with their own life means they stick their nose in other people's lives all the time instead of dealing with their own. Or they become the great rescuer, you know? They rescue other people all the time, but they never rescue themselves. These things are not healthy relationships. Let me just say that while I take a sip here, my water. You know, it's very important to understand what a healthy relationship is. When you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you don't do any of those things. And you wouldn't want to do it. When you have a healthy, loving, supportive relationship with yourself, you live like attracts like, attracts healthy, supportive people in your life. So how you treat yourself is exactly in ratio to how other people treat you. So if you treat yourself bad, don't expect other people to treat you good. It doesn't work. The law of attraction states, you know, like attracts like. And sometimes opposites attract. So sometimes you do actually get, you know, hi, Karen, just saying hi on Instagram, Karen. Sometimes you do get the opposite. Sometimes if you're very, very lucky, you'll get an opposite person who will come in and say, okay, I'm, you know, you have these problems, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you such love that you're going to find out what love is all about. Even the greatest rescuer in the world cannot make you heal the inner work that has to heal. Sorry to tell you that. I know it's hard work and nobody wants to hear that. Your prince may come, but you still have to do the work. Because you'll find relationship. When you don't feel well about yourself, when you don't love yourself, you attract people in your life who don't love you. Or they may pose as people who love you. So pretend that they're your soulmate. They'll look like your twin flame. They'll say things really like, wow, how is that person not my perfect mate? But and what happens is the relationship starts to fall apart. And when it falls apart, you really begin to see who the other person is. And when you see it, you're like, how did I miss that? How did I not see that that person was like that? So this is what I'm talking about today's episode 3 out of 12, Share My Heart. We're going to look at emotional pain, create it, why we have it. What is it hiding? What is it really hiding underneath? And also how to heal it. And although we only have an hour, I always give lots and lots and lots of sort of links and things that you can do. So if you join our Facebook group, which is, again, for those who are just joining, go to Facebook, The Shape of My Heart, in the search, you'll find us, and I'll let you in. And in there, you'll see lots and lots of links to things and books and everything, even to me, if you want to work with me personally, that, you know, will help you in discovering how to have healthy relationships with healthy people by being healthy emotionally yourself. Nobody can do this for you but you. You know, but people can support that process, which is what I would do, or a good therapist does. Right? Now, if you're using, for instance, let's go back to emotional pain. Let's just go there for a second. The problem with emotional pain is that when people have emotional pain, they, 9 times out of 10, unless they're emotionally healthy, repress it, get rid of it. You know, give me a drug, give me a shot of whiskey, let's go shopping, you know, let's run away, let's go to the movies. Do anything to not feel the pain that's coming up. Emotions, all of them, not just happy and joy and laughter and fun, but sadness, grief, depression, anger, rage, all meant to be expressed. They're all meant to be expressed in the body, through the body, and hope to communicate them, get them up and out of the system, so to speak, reveal them, let them reveal themselves. If your inner child is not happy with you because you're not listening to it, it can create a lot of havoc in life. It can trick you into believing that someone is really good for you, is really bad for you, you know? It can make you sit up and take notice. So it behooves you to have a good relationship with your inner child. And most people haven't a clue how to do that. They never even heard of it. The inner child, what are you talking about? Inside each person is our inner baby, our inner child, our inner teenager. All the stages of our growth live within us. And when we get traumatized as a child, or we get humiliated, or we get hurt emotionally, we can get stuck in these places. And when we get stuck in these places, you know, we never grow beyond that. So if you had a trauma at 3 years old, there's a 3-year-old inside of you trying to run your life. And you see that come out in selfish behavior. 3-year-olds, you're selfish. You know, you see that come out in inability to monitor their life or discipline their life. You see that come out in narcissistic behavior because, again, narcissists are just children frozen inside, like 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds. And, you know, an emotionally healthy human being is grown up inside too. And how do you become an emotionally healthy human being? You have to reach back into the inner child and work with that inner child to grow, allow that inner child to grow up. Some of the ways the inner child speaks to you is through self-abuse, self-harm, cutting, promiscuousness, especially if they were sexually abused, fear-mongering, making you afraid to go outside, making you afraid to do anything, negative thinking, trying to control others. When we can try to control others, then it's like a protection racket, but of course that doesn't work because who wants to be controlled? And then creating one drama after another, you know? Oh, the bank faulted on my loan. Oh, the dog died. This happened. That happened. Oh, I can't, you know, and then you see the rescuer come in, you know, oh, I have to take care of someone, so I can't do the thing I love, even though the thing I love would give me perhaps another income, right, in these times. Oh, no, I have to run and help this one. I have to do stuff with that one. Oh, I have to run and do that one. And in the end, this is all behavior. That's my point. This is all behavior that absolutely is not healthy. So one of the things we need to do is recognize the behavior that's not healthy. And this is the beginning of the process of healing, right? So recognize, are you a drama king or queen? Are you a rescuer? Are you a codependent? Are you someone who would rather, are you eternally lazy? You're not interested in the world. You're just interested in what's on TV. That's sad. That's no life, right? You know, have you given up on relationships because you've had so many bad ones? That's also sad, and that's no life, right? Relationships show you who you are and what you're made of. So if your relationships are all bad, it's not that you're a bad person, and it's not that you're made of bad things. It's that you're wounded, and this is the best your wounded self could get. You need to step up and heal that part of yourself, and then you'll attract better people in your life, and that's how it works, right? There's no fairy wand magic, you know, Cinderella got a godmother who came. I mean, it's all nonsense. You've got to do the work, okay? So let's talk about recognizing emotions and the purpose of emotions. Now, this comes from something I saw online, which I really liked, and I'll put it in the chat box. It's edinscounseling.com. And this is, I'll show you on my people on my Instagram and also on my YouTube are seeing this, right? I printed this out. Understanding emotions, recognize the purpose of emotions. Why do we have emotions? What are they all about, right? Well, I think the way we were made is that emotions are a beautiful expression of different parts of ourselves. Let me say that again. Emotions are a beautiful expression of different parts of ourselves. Every love song ever written was written because someone had the emotion behind it. If you have a great protest song or fight song, maybe someone was, you know, full of rage about some injustice that was happening. What about, you know, just going for that extra mile? Songs that, you know, people sit there and say, if only I had the energy. Well, I'll write a song that's really, you know, big beat and gives me energy. So emotions give us a connection to another human being as well, like love, right? Friendship. And also they are there for, in this day and age, I think it's very hard for children today with the phone in their face all the time to have intimate relationships with people. When I say intimate, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about connection. If you don't have balanced emotions inside of you, how are you going to have a balanced connection with anyone? So this is why understanding your emotions, the purpose of emotions. So emotions motivate our behavior. This is, again, taken from EdenCounseling.com, okay, written by Rachel Eden. You can go and see everything on her website. Being aware of and understanding our emotions helps us in making decisions, resolving problems, and responding to situations and events. Our emotions are important, of course. Emotions motivate our behavior. For example, if you're crossing the street and you see a car run red light in your direction, you will likely perceive danger, get anxious, and run to get out of the way. And that's all part of what, again, emotions can do for you. Now, is there an emotion you struggle with that frequently moves you away from what matters to you? And that is the million-dollar question. You know, do you feel too anxious? Do you feel insecure? Do you feel you're not good enough? Do you feel you have no self-worth or self-value? Do you feel that you're not attractive enough to create a relationship? All these things are to you, but they may not be true. Do you understand? They're not just because you feel them doesn't mean they're true, right? So let's look at this understanding and distinguishing primary and secondary emotions. And she goes on to say, emotions often come in multiples. So primary emotions come first and are most connected to what you actually need in the moment. Secondary emotions are a response to your primary emotions. In essence, they are how you feel about what you feel. Our primary emotions can also be secondary. So it's important to check in and identify what you are really feeling. Secondary emotions mask your true emotion and make it difficult to get what you really need. So there's a little ka-ching right there, you know. Secondary emotions mask your true emotion and make it difficult to get what you really need. We all need, we all want, we all desire. You know, that's part of the human experience on earth. No man is an island, no woman either, you know. So it's very important to understand our emotions. We were taught this in school, which is a shame. So let me go back to what this says. For example, if you're afraid of needing comfort, yet you respond with anger, secondary emotion, you're unlikely to get your needs met. If you judge your feelings as bad, feelings of guilt are the result. And you can get stuck in negative thoughts versus addressing your underlying need. When identifying emotions, try and identify the primary emotion. In order to regain control over your feelings, don't judge your emotions. Emotions aren't good or bad, but rather pleasant or unpleasant. So if you're having an emotion, whatever it is, don't judge it. Let it come up, right? Let it tell you why it's there. Okay, recognizing and understand the purpose of emotions. So here's the next thing. Understanding emotions includes recognizing them and identifying the function or purpose of that emotion. Each emotion has information in it conveying to you so that you can take appropriate action. Recognizing your emotions includes identifying related thoughts, physical sensations, and common ways of describing them. Once you have identified your emotion, you can begin to understand the emotion. What is it trying to communicate to you? So if you have anxiety, what's behind the anxiety? What is making you feel anxious? Right? If you have fear, even sometimes people go to the greatest events of their life, and they're filled with fear. You know, what is the fear trying to tell you? Is it trying to keep you safe, but it's no longer appropriate, like you're a grown-up and you can take care of yourself? So we have to discuss this all with our inner child. And our inner child sometimes needs to know, well, you're not 3 years old and left in the house on your own anymore. You know, you are actually a grown-up person at this age. And, you know, you work and you take care of yourself and you pay your bills, and therefore, you know, you're not alone, and I'm going to take care of you and make sure you're okay, and you can let go of being afraid. The inner child will probably give some sort of relief, like, oh, okay, Because when they get stuck at certain ages, remember, they're still thinking like that. So that's a really good way to understand your emotions. Where am I stuck? You know, am I stuck at a certain age? What ages did I experience, to my knowledge, you know, traumatic events or upsetting events? It could have been your dog died. It could have been a beloved grandparent died. It could have been, you know, something like your older brother beat you up. It could have been anything like this, right? What children go through, you know, it can be anything. So find out the emotions that communicate to you, how you can use that information to make a decision, meet a need, or take action. The following list provides examples for common, primary, and secondary emotions to help you understand your emotions. And these, again, are listed on this website. Once you gain some practice in understanding emotions, you can begin to take action to meet your needs. Now, here's the big one. I just mentioned it, fear. Fear, like all feelings, is important because it gives us information with which to keep us safe and healthy. Primary emotion is fear. The function protects us from immediate danger. Is there a big tiger running after us? Do we have to run? You know? Synonyms: fright, panic, uneasiness, terror. Typical prompting events: facing a threat, performing before others, facing a new situation. Danger is in the present time. So it's trying to keep us safe here, usually, right? So common body sensations: racing heart, unsettled stomach, nausea, lump in the throat, breathlessness, jumpiness, fight or flight response. Common actions relating to fear: running, freezing up, screaming, crying, seeking safety. Understanding anxiety. Anxiety is a secondary emotion, secondary to a more vulnerable emotion that is difficult to express. Anxiety alerts you to perceived danger. But the key word here is perceived. You can see in the description, anxiety can stem from unhelpful thinking and commonly leads to behaviors that reinforce anxiety. So you get nervous and you know that thought's going round and round and round and round, and that just makes you more anxious, right? The purpose of anxiety is listed here. However, if you experience anxiety, try to dig deeper to understand emotions that might be triggering anxiety. So ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What do I not want to feel? Hurt, sad, ashamed, or scared? The answer to these questions can help you identify your primary emotion and meet your true need. Doing so will commonly alleviate worry as well. However, you may find your primary emotion is fear. If so, anxiety can signal an avoidance of fear. I'll tell you a quick story here, right? I once met a girl who I knew through a Chuck Sedano workshop online. And she lived up north. I live in London, so I think she was in Manchester. I can't remember. But she was a lovely girl. She had complete agoraphobia. She could not leave her house. That's some serious fear. She was probably in her 30s. Whole life passing her by, living in her home. She had to have me on the phone. I mean, she would call me on the phone and she would say, "You talk to me while I run across the street to get some food." In the local, you know, there was just a local grocery store. She couldn't go to the main grocery store. And yet she was a very brilliant astrologer. And to be honest, she had all this knowledge, this wonderful, you know, esoteric knowledge, which astrology is. And astrology is really like psychology. That's what it is. It's all based on, you know, the 12 archetypes and all psychology is based on astrology. The Greek and Roman gods, you know, and their myths is all the stories behind psychology. So I said to her, "Look, I'm going to give you something that I think you don't understand. And I think if I tell you this, maybe it'll break the spell you're under," because it is a spell. It's like a spell. And I said to her, your soul is so mighty that it chooses to come into a lifetime over and over and over again. You have died probably thousands of times. And your soul doesn't give a crap about it. It knows that it lives forever. This anxiety that you're so afraid to leave the house, you know, what are you really doing but harming yourself? Why do you want to harm yourself? And something snapped in her. And she said to me, my God, I never thought about it. And I said, you are much mightier than some 30-year-old girl from up north and, you know, in England who's a brilliant astrologer but can't leave the house. That story is just a crock of crap. That's not even true. And the more you invest, the more you're stuck in the house. Okay, here's another story. She left the house. She left the house. She finally, she called me. She said, I'm free. I went to town today. And that's just one of the ways that, you know, what is the story you tell yourself about yourself? This is also the story of reinforcing negative behavior. I had a client whose daughter only could eat. This is, again, like, because all these behaviors are based on fear and very negative emotions and wounding in childhood, of course. She's a beautiful girl and young girl, like a teenager. And her mother said to me, she only eats cheese and bread. That's it. She can't eat anything else. She's thin as a rake, as you can imagine. But the mother was obsessed with, you know, being well. And I was really shocked that this girl was still alive, only eating bread and cheese. And she was like 17. And I said, could I have a word with your daughter? I'm going to help her. She said, okay. She trusted me because she knew me through other people who did know my work. And she trusts me. And this beautiful girl, I just wanted to hug her. You know, like, I'll bet I had the sense she had everything material, but she didn't really have acceptance who she was. And this destroys children. If you don't accept them for who they are, that they're big souls who come into this body to be with you, and really they don't give a toss about your agenda, what it is that you want for them. Okay, they have their own reason to be here, their own life, their own mission. You know, that's just nonsense. And a lot of children allow parents to force that on them. You know, look at my son. He graduated from medical school, but maybe he wanted to be a writer. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, chronic illness comes from this too. Chronic illness, how the body responds to this kind of behavior is that it gets you ill. And the more you don't sort of help yourself and get out of this story, the sicker you get is really how it works. So I took this young lady aside and I said to her, you are not the voice in your head that tells you just to eat cheese. You're not that person. That voice is not who you are. You're bigger than that, much bigger. You're a big soul. You've been here for many, many, many lifetimes, and you'll be here again for many, many more. And she just looked at me like shock. She never heard that before. Of course, nobody ever told her that she was not that voice in her head, that negative ego voice that was telling her to destroy herself by only eating bread and cheese. Well, she is a lovely girl today. She's grown up. She's got a gorgeous boyfriend who adores her. I see them on Instagram. See them all the time, and I love this lady, and I think the spell was broken. You must tell the truth to your children. You know, you can't make them be what they aren't. You know, they are individual people who come back to be with you. That's the greatest gift of all, that they chose you as their parent. The rest has to be up to them. What they want to do, how they want to do it, who they want to be, it really is up to them. They have free will. You can guide them. You can say, I would, you know, I suggest this, but what do you really want to do? Let them find out. You know, give them time to grow into who they are. So these are some of the ways that emotions, deep painful emotions, and the way we behave when we don't take care of them. So you have anxiety, you know, which I just discussed, and then you have anger. Usually below a lot of this is anger. Anger assists us in creating healthy boundaries. So when people don't listen to you, or they don't believe you, or don't want to, you're not important enough for them to respect boundaries, people get very angry about this. Healthy anger can assist us in saying no to things that are not in our best interest. True healthy anger doesn't injure anyone, including the person feeling it. So, you know, spirituality and guru, Luru, and everybody, you know, I'm a baby from way back, but, you know, I always thought anger was important. Be angry if you are angry. Express your truth. You don't have to hurt anyone, but if something else you talk about it, something, you know, sometimes you can go to the gym, and that's a good thing too, or punch a pillow. Get that anger out, but don't repress it. When you repress it, this is how you become a drama queen. This is how you have a bad attitude. This is how you attract other people who are angry too. And sometimes this creates domestic abuse. Sometimes this creates violence. People wonder why, you know, are people violent? There's a lot of repressed anger going on. Okay. So anger, moving anger into healthy ways allows the energy to come up, to come all the way up through the body, enabling the person to give voice to their experience and to create something different. And that, my friends, is where we're headed. We want to create something better. Anger is commonly a reaction, a reactive or repressed emotion. Consider anger as informative and identify what need or you need to express instead. So it's a primary emotion, or it can sometimes be secondary, function to allow us to respond to violation, to protect ourselves. Synonyms are annoyed, irritated, upset, offended. Typical prompting and feeling threatened, not getting what you want, experiencing physical or emotional pain. Pain, emotional pain, arthritis is based on repressed anger. Cancer, repressed anger. There's so many diseases that are actually from repressed anger, right? So typical accompanying thoughts, I don't deserve this, I will not tolerate this, it's not fair. Common body sensations, body and facial tension, flushed face, clenched fist, tightness in the jaw. Common actions related to anger, defending, threatening, yelling, withdrawing. Okay, we have a couple more, just checking our time here, okay? Sadness, primary emotion, function to slow us down, allowing us to cope with loss of a person or a desired goal. Synonym, unhappiness, hurt, misery, sorrow. Typical prompting events, loss or rejection, feeling powerless. Typical associated thoughts, this is a big loss, there's no hope. Whether you voted for Trump or Biden are experiencing this right now. Sensation, loss of anger, urge to cry, heaviness in the stomach, difficulty concentrating. And then we move to joy. Carry yourself. You need to have a day and a blanket and a journal and a terrible day.
Makes me weep anymore, 'cause I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I need for the pain. Not since I all those pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't the need for the pain. Not since I've known you.
Just how much it costs to survive.